I'm continuing with the ASC2K forum, to which Z contributed many things. I'm now at partway through one of his writings on October the 6th, 2005. I'm repeating a sentence or two from the prior recording. Now I seek gracefulness. I am learning to hold the question continuously in my heart. What am I creating? I mean with my thoughts, with my imagination, with that to which I direct my attention. Your friend, day and night, with respect to the soul. Dear X, thank you for your thoughts and your efforts at reading and understanding what I have written. It has taken several days for those thoughts to come to the top of the pile of flowing events in my mind. Finally, this morning, they are there. I will reply interlinearly in your text. In the last of the 12 sessions, this is written Wednesday, October the 12th, 2005. In the last of 12 sessions of the worldwide philosophy that I taught for Elliott Lake Retirement Living, I presented what I called the two V's in place of the three R's. Those two V's were visual thinking and Vedic math. I don't know how much you know about either of these. I lectured at Stanford University for Professor McKim, who teaches a course on visual thinking. He has written a book about the subject. I highly recommend that book. Vedic math presents sutras, which embody methods of relationship in the mathematical language. One of the 16 sutras even includes calculus. One of the distortions that has occurred in physics comes from the attempt to map the array of forces, energies, and patterns with only uniform intervals in the deployment of the dimensions as sequence providers. I have found that fractals can play a very important role in breaking the codes of pattern in the contraction and expansion of forces to and from the zero-point centers of the atoms. Think, each of us has hundreds of billions of cells, if not trillions of cells, in our bodies. Each cell will typically have from 4,000 to 125,000 biochemical events occur each second. That is an enormous eventfulness, unheeding in calling you by name. How can I contain and convey more of who and what you are? Language points to or denotes and stands for or represents, in the simulations of the process we call communication. Language can't and doesn't map the reality we inhabit very well. There is no way I can contain and convey much of the meaning about the state of any given subject with words. We habituate ourselves to muttering in our heads about everything that happens. How can any part of the universe know anything about any another part of the universe? The medium is light. The medium is the message, to somewhat quote the Canadian scholar Marshall McLuhan. One cannot contain or convey more about the nature or the state of another part of the universe that can't be contained in the medium in which it is coded. We live in an energy-parceling reality characterized by Planck's constant. It is the amount of energy per beat of frequency of any particular color of light. In 1931, Gödel showed that you can only prove something in a closed system. There are no closed systems. We can't isolate and define anything. Weil tells us that there is no such thing as one and the same increment of energy which characterizes a charge at any two adjacent increments of time. Energy is constantly and continuously flowing into and out of every charge. You can have proof or truth, but not both. That is how important openness is. Language is the medium of words. Language maps our reality with limits of fidelity. There is an inherent distortion in the mapping of reality with words or with language. Still, we seek to derive truth from reason. We follow syllogisms with invariant terms. These terms either point to, denote, or stand for, represent objects, entities, etc., which are constantly and continuously changing. A member at the ASC2K forum speaks of the Hopi and the language roots where the worldview would be much more aware of the law of one, and how the Hopi have likely maintained a more pure linguistic connection to ancient, maybe Lemurian or Atlantean language roots. And Z replies, "Thank you for sharing this reference. I know someone in Oakville, Ontario, who has an extensive collection of Hopi kahunas. I have spent time in his home examining these dolls. He himself spends months of every year with the Hopi people, and has done so for many years. I have in my library the Book of the Hopi, and have read it." The medium is the message you can't point to, denote, or make to stand for or represent more meaning than can be contained or conveyed by the medium. There is a distortion in resolution and a built-in ambiguity. The mathematician Gödel pointed out in 1931, the proof is only possible by means of the closure of a system. Truth is possible only by means of the openness and continuous variation in the state of the elements of the system. You can have proof or truth, but never both. There are no particles. It is an observational illusion. Reality is something like crochet. Every charge is a loop of light energy flowing continuously into and out of the loop. The refractive index of any given medium isn't a change in the velocity of light. It is the trip light makes into and through the charges, dependent upon the color of the light. Choice versus randomness, chance or accident, that is a heading. There is no element of randomness, chance, or accident. The limitation of the uncertainty principle constitutes the challenge and opportunity of choice. Each pattern for any given reality must be extendable if it is durable. There is a separation of cul-de-sac belief system realities which hover for refinement. Part of the code which appears as randomness is a delay in consequences held by certain cycles. This is what grants free will. There are adjacent systems of reality with finer harmonic energy parceling systems. Our thoughts, our imaginings, the patterns in that to which we give our attention go into these adjacent realities and combine or fail to combine to yield our experience in this framework one. Please proceed to part 3.